Last night in the Tarawih, Surah An-Nisa, major portion of Surah An-Nisa was recited. Nisa means woman. So 1400 years ago, when neither in the East nor in the West were the rights of women upheld, a whole surah chapter was revealed, and then the chapter was also called Surah An-Nisa, extolling and explaining the rights that are due to women. And there's no religion, no creed, no belief system in the world that has given women more importance, more honor, more status than Islam. And to still this day, if we fulfill the injunctions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regards to women, then nobody can lay any accusation against us, lift a finger against us, say we are not fulfilling the rights of women. Nobody has any right to lecture us. Islam is that religion that has given rights and honor and respect to women. We have to adopt and bring these commands and practices into our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by addressing entire mankind, and the command is given, ittaqu rabbakum. And this is the theme of the whole surah, that there are many commands, there are many situations in life that the only way that these commands can be upheld, that the rights of one another can be upheld, will be through the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, a person in his life at home, man, husband and wife, with his children, or as the other commands are coming in front with regards to the wealth of the orphan, with regards to inheritance, etc. So certain of these commands, to a certain level, it can be, justice can be brought in court, etc. But then there are some times when even the courts cannot bring, even if a person is staying in an Islamic country, Islamic land, even the qadi, the judge, he cannot bring full justice. For example, there were two friends. So one friend became sick. He left some money in trust with the other friend, said, that take this money, keep it, look after it, and give it to my children. It's for my children. Nobody knows about it. So now, even if any matter is going to court, the qadi, there's no proof. So the only way that this can be upheld is when there is taqwa and fear of Allah. Especially between husband and wife, the only way that the rights of one another can be fulfilled is when there is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the theme of this whole surah, that the weaker sex, the weaker partner, to fulfill their rights, we have to have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why on the occasion of nikah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's practice was that he would recite few ayat of the Quran, and all of them would be with regards to the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ittaqu rabbakum. Ya ayyuhannas, O people, all people, ittaqu rabbakum. Have the fear of your Rabb. Who is your Rabb? Alladhi khalaqakum min nafsi wahidatin. Who has created you from one soul. Allah ta'ala has created all of us from Adam alayhi salatu wa salam. And وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا, and from there Allah has created your partner. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, us also has made our partner from our own species. We are naturally inclined to, it wasn't made from a different species. And Adam alayhi salam also, Hawa radiallahu anha, was created from Adam alayhi salam. And then وَبَثَّ مِنْهُمَا رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا وَنِسَاءً, from there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made many different men and women, different tribes, different nations spread out throughout the whole world. So your Rabb who has created you, who has given you existence, your Rabb, you should have the fear of Him in your private life, in your public life. وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ الَّذِي تَسَاءَلُونَ بِهِ, and this Allah, you use His name. When you need to ask someone for something, you say, in the name of Allah I ask you. So you use Allah Ta'ala's name, but you have no fear of Allah. After all, then have the fear of this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second thing Allah Ta'ala says was, Arham, have the fear of family relations. Family relations very important. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam greatly emphasized the upholding of family relations. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who wants that he should have barakat, he should have blessings in his sustenance, and his life should be prolonged, then he should uphold family relations. Another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned and cautioned against cutting off family relations. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة قاطعون, that a person who cuts off family ties, he will not enter Jannah. Another hadith that tells people, a group of people, in which amongst whom there are those who cut off family ties, then Allah Ta'ala's mercy does not descend upon them. So very important that we uphold family ties. This is a great injunction of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala speaks about the wealth of the orphans, that you should, those who have been kept in charge and who are executors of the estate, they should see that they discharge the trust that has been granted to them with full amount of dari, with responsibility, with the fear of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تُقْسِطُوا فِي الْيَتَامَى فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ مَثْنَى وَثُلَاثَ وَرُبَاءَ. In the previous time, it would happen that if a young orphan girl was under someone's care and she had wealth, then what the person would do is, sometimes he would marry her, and instead of paying her mehr, her dowry, he would take all of her wealth. So Allah Ta'ala says that if you are not going to be able to uphold justice with regards to the orphans, then don't get married to the orphan children that are in your care. Then marry other women. And Allah has made it permissible, you can marry 2, 3, 4. So this is what the issue of polygamy, also one of the very contentious issues where people make lots of accusations against Islam, against the Muslims. However, this is the true natural system that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has created man upon, and Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's law is in total harmony to the fitrah and the natural inclination of and the natural needs of man. If we fulfill and we uphold the command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, then our life in this world also will be smooth. But any system of life which is against the natural system which Allah Ta'ala has created man upon and Allah Ta'ala has set down for us, then there only be flaws and holes in it. So we see those societies, for example, in the West, the last 100, 200 years, Western societies, they've tried to ban polygamy. Whereas even in their societies, before it was prevalent, they've tried to ban it. So what has happened is, legally you cannot get married to more than one wife. You can only have one wife. But illegally, a person can have 2, 3, 4, 5 mistresses, girlfriends, and that in their society is not seen as anything wrong at all. Islam, on the other hand, is that this is not permissible. A man, if he has a desire for more than one wife, then no problem, is permissible. But not that you can just fulfill your desires. No, you have to have nikah, and make nikah, and all the responsibilities that come, you have to fulfill all of these responsibilities. You have to pay the mehr, you have to pay for the upkeep of the woman, you have to pay her for her clothing, etc. So Islam is the perfect way of life. And those, unfortunately, in our society also, although we say we believe in it, but in practice we've made it almost impossible to practice upon it. And the main reason for that is because our life has become very, very complicated. Our life is not on simplicity. You see, in the time of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the general practice of Sahaba radiallahu anhum was polygamy. They had more than one wife. To have one wife, this was against the normal practice. Why? Because of the simplicity in their lives. We also bring simplicity into our lives, it will become easy once again. And it will, many, many ills that come out of this command of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala not being practically applicable in our lives, these will leave our lives. But Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala further on says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدَةً أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُكُمْ. That if a person wants to marry 2 or 3, but he will not be able to establish justice. And justice, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has clearly shown, justice is in spending and in dividing a person's time, his night. So if a person is not able to establish justice between his wives, then he should only stick to one wife. So a person cannot just say, I want to get married to many. He has to look inside himself. Will he be able to uphold and fulfill the rights of all of these wives? If he is able to do it, then Sharia has allowed and permitted him to do that. Further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives a warning to those people who consume the wealth of orphans. Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَى ظُلْمًا إِنَّمَا يَأْكُلُونَ فِي بُطُونِهِمْ نَارًا. Those who unjustly consume the wealth of orphans, then they are only eating fire. They are putting fire into their stomach. And on day of Qiyamah, this will also become manifest with the يَسْلَوْنَ السَّعِيرَ. It will become apparent and clear on the day of Qiyamah. They will have to enter into the fire of Jahannam. And then further on, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala gives the command and the laws of inheritance, that if a person passes away, then how his wealth has to be distributed among his children, among his parents, among his other relatives. Clearly, each person's share has been fixed in Quran and Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So there's no other need for us to reinvent the wheel and try, and we want to bring justice that this son has done so much, so I have to give him more. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that He knows best who is closer to you, who has been of more benefit to you, and His law, this is the supreme law. So we have to also, for us, because we are staying in a non-Muslim country, very important that a person should have a will. If a person doesn't own any wealth, or he doesn't owe anybody anything, then he doesn't have to have a will. But if a person owns any wealth, and it doesn't mean that he owns only if he has properties or he has lots of businesses, even a little bit of wealth, he has a vehicle, or he has cash, etc., then he has to have a will in a non-Muslim country, and in there it has to be written that after his death, his wealth should be distributed according to the Islamic law of inheritance. Otherwise, if he doesn't have a will, then lots of complications afterwards could arise. For example, if he has nabalig children that are minors, that are underage, and sometimes for them they have to create a trust, and sometimes the amount of fees that is needed to create the trust is more than the amount of wealth that he has left for them. So to save oneself from all of these complications, a person should ensure that he has a will, so that the last thing that before he leaves this world, when he leaves this world, the last thing that applies to him is the distribution of his estate. That also can be in accordance to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After these injunctions, Allah ta'ala says, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ, that these are the boundaries of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whoever will obey Allah, he will get Jannah. And whoever will go against the boundaries, he will go beyond the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, then such a person, Allah ta'ala, will enter him into the fire, وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and there'll be a disgraceful punishment for him. And then when that يَأْتِينَ الْفَحْشَ, in the next ruku, some ulama explained that this is actually the punishment for lesbianism and for homosexuality, very severe punishment, and according to the different interpretations and different views in the different madahib, some of the punishment for this act that is totally haram is that a person will be crushed, or a person will be thrown down from a very high place, or he will be burned, or it will be left up to the judge, the qadi of the time, to decide what punishment to be meted out to them. So this is something that is totally abhorred. We should ensure and also look after our children, ensure that the evil of this is entrenched in their heart from a small age. And then Allah Ta'ala says that if whatever sin a person has made, a person, if he makes tawbah, فَإِن تَابَ وَأَصْلَحَ, they make tawbah and they reform their way, then Allah Ta'ala is tawwab ar-rahima. Allah Ta'ala is most forgiving. Allah Ta'ala will forgive. Allah Ta'ala is most kind. Allah Ta'ala will overlook. But don't wait until you're going to die. Just before you die, you say that, no, now I'll make tawbah. You don't know when death can come to you. And at this time, there'll be no chance for a person to make tawbah. While you still have life, a person should make tawbah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about those women which are haram for a person to get married to, his mother, his sister, his auntie, his father's sister, mother's sister, his nieces, that is, his brothers or sisters' daughters, and those women who have breastfed him, and similarly, his sisters, his foster sisters, those who have drank the same woman's milk as him, and other categories of women as well. So these type of women are not allowed for a person to get married. Similarly, for a person to have two such women in his nikah, that is, the relation between them is that of hurmat. For example, two sisters at one time, a person cannot have two sisters in his nikah. And we might think that it is far-fetched, but up until this time, there was one student studying in our madrasa not long ago, and he explained that in his family, there was a person that was married to two sisters. So we need to explain to people that who is it allowed to get married to, and who is not permissible to get married to. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the start of the khutbah, Allah explains that the objective of nikah is for a person to protect himself from haram. And if a person gets married, this should be the reason why he gets married, to in a permissible way fulfill his desires and protect himself from haram. He shouldn't get married just out of lust. Or a person shouldn't have girlfriends. Maybe before marriage a person wants for 6 months or 1 year to date the woman and then he wants to get married. No, these love marriages generally, if we look at it, don't really work out. Why? Because the foundation of it is on the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the other hand, arranged marriages where a person does it according to Sharia, he has no contact with the girl or the woman before he gets married, then Allah ta'ala's blessing comes in that a person, he gets married, he doesn't know what to expect. Now he trusts and relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever he gets, he's happy with it. On the other hand, a person is involved with a woman for dating her. Now you only see the good when a person is dating, you only see the good of the person. So now when you get married, you see the other side also. And then you'll realize now what happened. Therefore, the Islamic system, this is the best, and that is what we should adopt in our lives. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمَ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. That in every society, every country of the world, you need to have one leader, one king, one person in charge. Everybody can't be in charge, one person has to be in charge. Similarly, in the kingdom of the house, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given the authority to the man. The man is in charge. And the woman has to be subservient, they have to be under the man. This doesn't mean that the rights of the woman or their status, their position in any way is lower than the others. No. But this is Allah Ta'ala's system, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given preference to some over others. And a man, he has been given this responsibility and he has been given this authority. Why? On virtue, or because of بِمَا أَنْفَقُوا مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ, because of him spending from his wealth. So this also clearly defines that the responsibility to earn, this is the responsibility of the man. The man should go out, he should make an effort, he should work, he should earn. And the woman, her role is to stay in the house, to see to the affairs of the house, to look after the children, the upkeep of the home. This is her ember, this is where she should be staying, and this is her role. In the society nowadays, roles have been reversed. And when roles have been reversed, we can see the great harm that has come about. Women are earning, sometimes they're earning, if they are both earning, both of them are earning, men and women. Woman is earning more than men. Now, she feels that she is superior to the man. She doesn't want to listen to the husband. Or the husband, sometimes he becomes lazy, then he stays at home. He becomes a house husband. And then he becomes under the rule of his wife. So this is not the system of Islam. The system of Islam is that a man should go out and he should earn, and a woman should stay at home. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala further on gives the command that in all matters we have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ. Every argument, every affair, every judgment, we should turn to the command of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it happened once that there was an argument between a Jew and a munafiq. And the Jew was in the right, it was his land that he was laying claim to, the munafiq was in the wrong. So the Jew said, let us go to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will decide between us. The munafiq was not prepared because he knew that even though this person is a Jew, but when we're going to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will pass judgment for the person whose right it is. So he refused to go, he wanted to go to Umar Rizwan. Umar Rizwan came to know of this, he chopped off his head, that you are called to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't want to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed this ayah, also absolving Umar Rajallahu of what he had done, and explaining to us that in every matter, we have to see what is the command of Allah, and what is the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in, many people say the rule of the land, so the rule of the land is under the rule of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. First is the command of Allah, and then after that day, as much as we can, we fulfill and we obey the rule of the land. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command of hijrah and the command of jihad. There were those people who wanted to take revenge against the kuffar and fight, but the command in the beginning was that a person should make sabr. So these people, Allah ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَرَ إِلَى الَّذِينَ قِيلَ لَهُمْ كُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. They are told that hold back your hands, وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ. Establish salah and fulfill the charge of zakah. And then when Allah ta'ala has allowed you to fight and has given the command of fighting, then what happened? One group of them, they started fearing people like how Allah Ta'ala ought to be feared. Or even more, they had more fear in this. So before they were making bold claims and big claims, but now when Allah is commanding them to fight, now they don't want to fight. So it shouldn't be like this here. A person should realize that his death has been predestined. When his time for death is, it will come. He cannot delay it, he cannot bring it forward one moment. So somebody asked also, many people have big claims, we want to go out and we want to make jihad. Definitely we have to have the desire. It should be a desire. In fact, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has cautioned the person that if a person dies and he has not made jihad, nor has he spoken to himself of making jihad, then he passes away on a branch of nifaq. So at this moment, we should, when the command is not there for us, then we should fulfill the other commands that do apply to us. Establish salah, pay your zakah, the other commands of sharia that apply to us, we should fulfill it. When the time comes, then a person should be ready to sacrifice whatever he needs for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command of that moment. And then Allah ta'ala says that أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتُ. Wherever you are going to be, death will definitely come to you. وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدًا. Even if you are in 45 fortresses, strong fortresses, it will not be able to protect you from death. Death will come and catch you. وَإِنْ تُسِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُ هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. Those people at that time, if any good would come to them, munafiqeen, etc., they would say, this is from Allah Ta'ala's side, and when difficulty would come, then they would say that this is because of the bad luck and ill omen and the bad effect of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah Ta'ala says, no, kullu min indillah, everything comes from Allah Ta'ala's side. All good, all bad is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's side. However, what is the demand of adab? The demand of adab is ma asabaka min hasanatin fa min Allah. Whatever good comes to you, don't attribute it to yourself, attribute it to Allah. Wa ma asabaka min sayyatin, and whatever harm comes to you, and that you don't attribute it to Allah, then you say fa min nafsik, this is from your own side. This is because of my actions or because of something that I have done. So don't attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command that is very applicable in these days, that وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوِ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ. When the munafiqeen, when any news would come, either of security of peace or something that would cause fear and unrest among the people, immediately what they would do is they would spread the news among the people to cause unrest, to cause people to panic, etc. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that what they're supposed to have done, وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ. Any news that comes, important news or sensational news, etc., it shouldn't be just immediately spread out amongst people. Rather, it should be given to the people of authority, people of understanding. They will be able to digest it, they will be able to analyze it and see whether, first of all, is it true or is it false, or is it just a hoax, or is it something that needs to be given out to the public or not. So in the same way, nowadays on social media, etc., many people, sensational news comes about, we want to be the first to forward it, we want to be the first to broadcast it. No, if something comes, you're not sure about it, the etiquette and the correct way is that you keep on to it. Approach the ulama, approach the pious people, and first verify before a person wants to send out anything. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the punishment if a person takes the life of another mu'min. Even if a person by mistake kills another mu'min, it's something very, very grave. So a person should ensure that in certain circumstances, sometimes because of monastery dealing, business matters, a person now hires someone to take somebody's life, or sometimes because of the someone is involved in some affair or something. This is a very great sin to take another Muslim's life. Person shouldn't take matters into his own hand, but he should leave justice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the command of salah, that a person has to establish salah in all situations, even on a journey. If a person is on a journey, then salah is half. The salah is not ma. You will discuss the salah, but salah is not absorbed from a person. Similarly, when a person is in jihad, he still has to perform salah. So in great detail it is mentioned that if the believers want to read behind one imam, like in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everybody wanted to read the salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So on one hand, jihad is taking place, you have to have enough enough of the army to be against the kuffar, and then we also have to perform salah. So Allah Ta'ala explains that how will this salah be performed, and then after that Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا قَرَّيْتُمُ الصَّلَاةِ, once salah is over, then فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِكُمْ, then make the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala while standing, while sitting on your side. فَإِذَا اطْمَأْنَنْتُمْ, and when you are in peace, when the fighting has subsided, then again establish salah and perform salah in the normal way. So important salah is, that in no occasion is salah, does salah fall away from a person. So we should see that the month of Ramadan has come, we should make this effort on our salah. One is, first of all, our 5 times salah should be in our lives. Secondly, it should be with jamaat in the masjid. And then thirdly, we should make an effort that our salah now should be a salah of concentration and devotion. That is also many of the programs here in the Khanqah. So Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq that we appreciate and we value and make an effort in our salah. And then towards the end of the para, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala speaks about the munafiqeen in the last book. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ يُخَادِعُونَ اللَّهَ وَهُوَ خَادِعُهُمْ. The munafiqeen, they want to deceive Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, and they want to deceive the Rasul of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. But in no way are they deceiving anyone. Allah Ta'ala is fully aware of all of their stuff, all of the deception. And one sign of the munafiqeen is, وَإِذَا قَوْمُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَوْمُوا كُسَلَاةِ. When they stand up for salah, they stand up very lazily, with no enthusiasm, no desire. يُرَاءُونَ النَّاسِ, only to show people. وَلَا يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. And they don't remember Allah except a little. So a person, if he makes an effort on his salah, performs salah with concentration, with devotion, and with ikhlas and sincerity, and he is in the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, this is the cure for nifaq. A person making the dhikr of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that will cleanse a person's heart from nifaq. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to make from it.